all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you. That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you. Start at 9.9. It's Anna and Raven. If your weekend plans are so excited and lit because you're going to go buy the same primer that Meghan Markle uses because you read it in People magazine.
Nice.
That's all I need to know about you.
Yo, get hyped. That's going to be crazy. I'm going to go get that same.
What did you say? Foundation?
Sorry, it was primer. It's like a foundation primer.
Yes, I can't. Mm. It's the same thing as house painting. I don't know all the... You know, the lingo, that type of stuff. Yeah, right.
I don't know what's wrong
terminology.
With me.
Terminology.
Terminology. Did you hear that stuff? I thought I was going to get away with it.
Well, her skin does look magical.
Well, I was reading this People magazine about the type of primer that she uses. And mm-hmm. then I was like, oh. And I don't know. I'm not that person that, like, because a celebrity uses it, right. I'm going to use it too.
Right.
But I immediately thought, wait a minute. She has great skin. I also want to look like I'm glowing.
Right.
And then I
and a princess.
Yeah, and like I'm a princess. And I immediately was like, where can I find this? Found out that Lord & Taylor sells it. And now I couldn't sleep last night because I was so excited after work to go to Lord & Taylor's and to buy the primer.
You get sucked in.
Right.
You get sucked right in. It's that magical glow that she has
right.
there.
If you buy whatever a celebrity uses just because you want to look like the celebrity, that's all I need to know about you. That's it.
I got one for you here. If you never come out of your house because you're avoiding your neighbor over some, like, you know, just small conversation about something that's going on in your neighborhood. That's all I need to know about you. You ever get that? The people that, when they see you, they just avert their eyes, look at the ground, and then run back inside their house, or they don't come back out whenever you're outside?
No, my neighbors are really friendly. Why? Yeah. Why do yours do that?
I have this one where every time I drive by, the guy's walking his little dog, and he's smiling, and he's looking at the world and everything like that, and I drive by, and I wave, and I'm doing a respectable speed and everything, and he just looks at the ground. Or looks away.
Did you wrong him?
Yeah. I've never wronged him. That's the thing. I don't know. Maybe my ancestors wronged his. I don't know.
Maybe he just doesn't like you.
I'm a relatively likable person. I mean, I'm not everybody's cup of tea, but put the face on for a minute.
I smile
and wave at everybody in the neighborhood.
Okay.
Wow. Unless you're the UPS driver and you're doing 1,000 miles per hour down my street. Other than that.
Right. Then you're solid.
I've turned into that guy.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm like,
shut up! Kids live here!
Shaking my fist, right? Right.
If you decide to package a container of live bees and send it through the post office, that's all I need to know about you.
How do you even do that?
I don't know.
Is it a wooden box or a cardboard box? What kind of box quality fabric do you use?
Do people no longer listen for ticking boxes or buzzing boxes? Because I feel like that would be a thing you would notice when you were picking it up or you bring it into the post office.
Right. It's my emotional support bees.
Well,
no. Right. Do you get arrested for that? What happens when you mail bees?
I guess you can. Our friend who works at the post office, Sean, that we know... He said it was
He witnessed this this morning. Wow.
Texted me at 3 in the morning to tell
me
about it.
That's fantastic.
I mean, wow.
That's fantastic.
Well, we need to get Sean on the phone, clearly.
Well, they were so excited to have one live person actually in the post office delivering a box that nobody questioned that it was full of
after
a beehive.
After waiting six hours in line at the post office.
Right.
1-800-330-9999. Fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you.
March Sadness with Hannah and Raven on Star 99.9.
For the last few weeks, we've been narrowing the field down from a pre-selected 16 saddest songs of all time down to today, where we will choose which is the saddest song of all time. And it comes down to Angel by Sarah McLachlan and Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On.
So much pressure going into this, and that game is going to start shortly. But before then, we've had to deal with all your incessant calls throughout this process of voting going, you know what, I'll vote for this, but this other song is wicked sad. Play it for me.
Right. So that being said... We're finally giving you your platform. We asked you yesterday, okay, what song did not make the Sweet 16 that was sad that you think should have been there? And we've whittled it down to the final five.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to decide if they're actually sad or not.
All right, let's hear them.
Lots of nominations for this. Tears in Heaven, Eric Clapton. I mean, a song does make you want to sleep.
All right. It is a sleepy song.
Right.
And we know the story behind the song, which, of course, puts it right up at the top there. He lost his son. If you write a song about something that's based in reality, all right, a song about that, then obviously you're going to get extra points for that. And it's very sad.
That song should have been included. They were right. We should have put that one in there.
But it feels a little bit unfair because it's like, you know, it's got such a real story.
Right. Well, that's the whole point. Or how about...
Also want to point out Titanic is real.
All right. Wait, but Jack isn't real. Well, Rose wasn't real.
If you say so.
All right. The next song that was nominated and got way too many likes that we didn't include on March Sadness, this one, Christmas Shoes.
Oh, well, that's because I can't do it.
Daddy says there's not much time. We should have been... There was no Christmas song listed.
No.
Yeah.
That song is not allowed to play here while I'm... doing this on this side of this board. You know that I have a thing with that song.
The Christmas Shoes?
Yes. And it goes on forever and
ever. We get so confused. We're like, this poor child just needs some money to buy his dying mom shoes.
Right.
It is sad, though.
It's wicked sad, but...
Yep.
I keep saying wicked.
Over and over.
It's a thing. We're all talking about it in the building now.
Yep. Next.
I don't know why.
This is another one that got a lot of nominations. And I think it's the emotion in her voice. Let's hear it for Toni Braxton, Unbreak My Heart. Unbreak my heart. Oh, she's begging. We should have put this song up against Bruno Mars.
No, that one doesn't feel... I don't know, man.
I'm not buying it, Braxton. Life.
I'm not buying it. I know he walked out of her life.
Why? She's pretty?
He was up front. He was up front, and he was like, I'm done with this, so I'm leaving. So, you know what? I mean, he handled it the right way, like an adult. This imaginary person that's in her song.
How about this one? Last Kiss by Pearl Jam.
So weird.
This song is sad.
It is sad.
But when the music is up-tempo, it doesn't feel as sad.
There's something about, like, old school music that has, like, a dark meaning, but yet has that swing beat that it's kind of, like, creepy almost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of, like, creepy. Like, you feel like death hangs in the balance, which clearly it does in that song because she's in his arms passing away.
Right. And then one last one. A lot of nominations came in for this
we
left
off. This is my
vote. True Colors, Cyndi Lauper.
So nice.
Here's the thing.
Lovely person.
Almost did make the Sweet 16. It got booted off last minute.
Right. I really did debate for it. I was trying to pull for it in the meetings, and I could not get it on the list. And you know why I believe it didn't make the list?
It's not sad enough.
No, I believe it wasn't on the list because it was so sad.
That's not.
For the older people in the room that they were like, I can't actually hear that song every day or I'm not going to be able to make it.
No, I think it's more because it's hopeful. It's not really sad.
Well, but either way, I hope you people are happy now.
What it comes down to is we have our finals. My Heart Will Go On versus Angel. If you want to start voting, you can call us now. 1-800-330-9999.
March Sadness with Hannah and Raven on Star 99.9.
All right, it all comes down to the finals today. You're going to determine what is the saddest song of all time. We started with the Sweet 16 and we've dwindled it down. The final two, Angel by Sarah McLachlan.
Change the channel.
Get my debit card.
I
gotta save.
Somebody put a
puppy.
Blanket on that dog.
Oh.
It's cold out. Get the owner out. Get him outside in the yard right now. Hannah, I'm gonna handle this right now. Get the owner outside right now.
It's just sadness right there. And the competitor, it's Celine Dion. My Heart Will Go On.
When Celine sings, I feel like I can dance across the Atlantic Ocean.
Do you?
And it won't bother me. I won't get hypothermia. I will not drown with everybody else that is on the Titanic with me. I will live because my heart goes on. It actually takes me to another dimension.
You know what I found to be very interesting?
That's how I live.
That's how you live there?
Right.
I find it... And
that other dimension.
I thought this, and then Sono Half Marathon actually put on our Instagram, and they're right, is that what it comes down to is you have to choose, do you want to save the puppies, or do you want to save Jack from drowning?
No, you simplified it because you already know that Jack is dead, and that is not fair. Right. That is not fair. We continue to do this. Next year, we're going to need a mediator for this broadcast.
It's very interesting because that's what it comes down to, but in both scenarios, you associate it with something else. No one actually listens to the lyrics of the song. Mm. You hear Angel, you think sad puppies. You hear My Heart Will Go On, you think Rose letting Jack go as he drowns away frozen like an ice block.
Right.
Yeah.
So, sad.
But ultimately, it comes down to you. We're going to take all the votes on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and call us right now, 1-800-330-9999. We're going to tally them, and we're going to have a winner of March Sadness next. It's March Sadness. We are crowning the saddest song of all time. Star 99.9, it's Anna and Raven. Over the last 2 weeks, we've had the Sweet 16, the 16 saddest songs of all time, and here we are. We've dwindled it down, and we have Angel by Sarah McLachlan.
It's sad.
No question about it.
I can't even, like, talk during it. Like, it, like, takes out all my energy. It's like somebody just punched me in my chest.
Right.
And the competitor, Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On.
They don't make it. They're never going to make it to Port Anisap. Never going to make it.
Much sadness with Hannah and Raven on Star 99.9.
1-800-330-9999. Your votes determine who is going to be the champion this morning as we wrap it up. Hi, it's Hannah and Raven.
Angel by Sarah McLachlan.
It is very sad, but I would rather listen to Celine Dion on repeat. I'm just going to say it again, Anna.
I know you've said it many times. Anna and Raven, what are you voting for to be the saddest song of all time?
My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion.
And that water is cold. That water is really cold in the ocean. Nobody wants to get in that water.
Yeah, but those poor puppies just dying, being treated so sadly.
Stop it. Stop it. Anna and Raven, Mark Sadness, who are you voting for? Is it Angel or Celine Dion?
Definitely Angel. I can't. Every time it comes on with that infomercial, I just can stop it.
I know.
I blame these people at the ASPCA. I blame them. Thank you. Anna and Raven, Mark Sadness, who are you voting for? Saddest song ever.
I'm voting for Angel.
Are you crying right now, ma'am?
Pardon?
Are you crying right now?
No, I'm actually eating.
Okay, good.
When I think about sad dogs, I usually shove a handful of croissant and bagel in my mouth.
Now, that's actually true.
Right.
Ann and Raven, what is the saddest song? Is it Angel or My Heart Will Go On, Celine Dion?
Angel.
Oh, I don't like the way this is going, Anna Zapp.
I don't know why you feel such an allegiance to Celine Dion.
Because...
Because what?
Well, that's it. That's
yeah,
the old,
that's the only reason.
That was the end of the answer. Anna and Raven, Mark Sadness, who's moving on?
Celine.
Yeah, there we go. That's my pal. Now change your voice and call back.
Anna and Raven, Mark Sadness, what should be the champion?
Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Anna and Raven, what should be the champion of Mark Sadness?
The Arms of the Angel with Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Anna says that that's not the name of that song, so that vote doesn't count.
That's not true. The name of the song is actually Angel, but we accept that.
Maybe you do. And Ann Raven, saddest song.
This is very clear cut. The winner is going to be My Heart Will Go On. When you hear the Angel song, I would say 99% of people automatically picture the really sad dog commercial. But if you were to put that same song on, say, an ad for a snake or a lizard, it probably wouldn't give that same reaction.
Right.
Whereas My Heart Will Go On, I mean, yeah, people will think of, you know, Jack. But, I mean, as a Titanic studier myself is, some people do think about the actual event of the Titanic sinking, where many people lost their lives.
Right. See, you're the shallow one, Anna, that just thinks about Jack. Mm-hmm. You're the shallow one. Mm-hmm. And you're not thinking about snakes at all. You know what, sir? You've made the most sense this morning. I'm going to end all voting right now.
You're going to end all voting, but ultimately what it comes down to is by a landslide, Angel Sarah McLachlan wins March Sadness this year as the saddest song of all time. When I calculated all the votes, Raven, I was shocked that it wasn't even kind of close. Not even a little bit.
It's a conspiracy. Those puppies are crisis actors, all right? Mm-hmm. They're not really in a tragic situation. They're crisis actors.
I never thought I'd hear that come out of your mouth.
Oh, my God. Could you chew any louder?
Did you watch this without me?
Seriously, 6 more inches and it's in the sink.
Why do you do this? You squeeze from the bottom.
What do you want to get for dinner?
Let us solve your problems. Star 99.9, Honda of Westport Couples Court.
Karen and Robert are joining us together this morning. Karen, let's start with you. What's going on?
My daughter, she's 8. She's going to go to Boston for a little trip with one of her friends. And my husband, Robert, is freaking out because I didn't talk to him before. I said it was okay. I really don't think it's a big deal.
Is this like a day trip or is she going overnight? What's the plan?
She's going to be going for 2 nights with a really good friend of hers. Known the family forever. I don't see what the big deal is.
I just had a friend whose daughter was in Florida with some friends over spring break, and she called them in the middle of the night and wanted him to go down there and pick her up. 25 hours driving time away.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, it was a real thing. Now, 8-year-olds, they just change their mind in the middle of the night and want to drive home all the time.
So, Robert, I'm assuming the problem that you have with this is that you think that your daughter is too young to go away with another family?
Yeah, she's too young to go away with another family. Why would I allow that?
But don't you know the parents? Like, she's not going with strangers. You said that she's known this, her friend, for a long time.
Yeah, she has known it for a long time, but it's not the point. I'm very protective.
I mean, if they're not your neighbors, you really don't know what's going on in their house.
Exactly.
Karen, you know these parents. These aren't just like a schoolmate's family. Like, you know them well or not really?
We know them well. The families have known each other since before the girls were born. Our pregnancies were right on top of each other, and we knew our girls were going to be best friends, and we know this family.
10:30, the phone rings. I want to go home. Oh. She's crying. Boston's 2 hours away.
We'll go and get her.
You got to go pick her up.
Only 2 hours away. We'll just drive and go and get her.
Oh, yeah, let's just drive 2 hours when you didn't even ask me in the first place. I just think that our daughter's too young to be going away without us.
All right, well, why don't we
Fair enough.
Yeah, why don't we ask our audience what they think? They may agree with you, Robert, that 8 is too young to go away with another family, but they may see your side too, Karen, that you've known these people for a long time, and it's only 2 nights, and if there's a problem, you get in the car and go pick her up. It's 2 hours away. It's Boston. Do you guys agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
I agree, but I know they're going to agree with me, so...
Okay, honey.
All right, let's find out. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Honda of Westport Couple Scored on Star 99.9.
Robert says that his 8-year-old daughter is too young to be going away with friends' family for 2 nights in Boston. Karen says they've known the parents for years. It's her best friend. It's fine, and he's overreacting.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's really about the families here. I think that most people, that you know your kids. Is your kid really going to make it through 2 nights, 2 hours away somewhere else?
Karen says yes.
Calling you and saying, hey, come get me, Daddy.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on this morning?
I'm on mom's side. That's a little dramatic.
Is it the whole premise of don't take my daughter anywhere without telling me? Or just like she's too young to travel? What is the thing that you think sticks out the most?
I think that she's old enough to travel. They're not even going far.
Right. It's true. It's not like you're going to Europe for 3 weeks.
Thanks for the call. Have a good morning.
Whose side are you on? Call us at 1-800-330-9999. 8 years old. It's a Honda of Westport Couples Court on Star. I find this really interesting because when I was a child, I wasn't allowed to sleep out at any friends' houses until I went to college,
right,
to be honest.
And by when you were a child, you mean until you were 18?
It's true. 18 years old. When I went to college, it was the first time I was allowed to sleep out at a friend's house.
That's because they weren't paying attention. Right.
It's a Honda of Westport Couples Court. Robert's upset that his wife, Karen, agreed for their 8-year-old daughter to go on a vacation with another family up to Boston. It's like her best friend from school. They've known the parents for years. He just says an 8-year-old shouldn't be traveling on vacation with another family, even if it is for only 2 days.
You know, I said it before, I'll say it again. I think that everybody knows their kids. So, you know, how likely is it that your kid is actually going to make it through the night or whatever, or not have some sort of crisis or meltdown or whatever? Sounds like dad feels like it's not very likely.
And Karen says she's going to be fine. Whose side are you on? It's the Honda of Westport Couples Court, Star 99.9, 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Anna Raven.
Hi, I'm on dad's side, only because, not because of the age, but I think parents need to co-parent together and they both have to be in agreement. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem further down the line when parents are disagreeing and not, you know, together on this. And so they need to definitely agree on this. And if he's not comfortable, he's not comfortable.
You know, sometimes this comes up between me and Alicia, too, with the dogs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the dog likes me to antagonize him until he wants to bite me. I think that's his pleasure as far as wrestling goes. She thinks that it's more of an annoyance to him, and he doesn't enjoy it.
Okay.
Then she blames me when I get bit.
Well, I think that's valid. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the father's side. I think 8 years old is a little too young to be traveling away from home. I also think that the parents should have discussed it first together to make sure that they were aligned. Secondly, you know, I've raised 3 kids, and I've had sleepovers starting at 10, and we've had several kids want to go home in the middle of the night during birthday parties.
Yeah.
So that's a little far. Eight is very young, I think, especially to be traveling away with another family.
We see a reoccurring theme here where the lack of communication, but I have to admit, like, I could see myself being guilty of this. Like, I make decisions on the fly for my daughter. It's not,
and that's why your husband resents you so deeply.
No, stop being ridiculous. I think that you have to remember that it's a partnership. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the dad's side. The little girl is not old enough to protect herself, number one. God forbid something happened. Everyone has secrets. You don't know they're part of a cult or anything, you know, to be extreme. For her to be 2 hours away, that's too far.
Not once did I possibly think there was going to be a cult reference in here.
Oh, I was banking on it.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Robert, our audience agreed with you. If he's not comfortable with it, Karen, he's 50-50 in this partnership. And, you know, you should have checked with him and made sure he was okay with this before agreeing to it. And maybe waiting a couple more years isn't such a bad idea.
I will take responsibility. I should have checked with him first. But I still think even if I didn't check with him, she's so old enough to know where they got it. But I said I would agree. Next time I'll check with you.
You should check with me next time. Can't just send our our daughter wait 2 hours.
Okay, she's not going.
All right, well, I think we've all learned a valuable lesson here today. You got to confirm with the other parent before you make decisions like this. Guys, thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate it. If anybody else has an issue, send us an email to couplescore@star999.com.
You already know TMZ breaking news before it breaks. Spend hours a day stalking your favorite celebs on Twitter.
I like you, Joe. Like, actually.
Answer questions with obscure movie quotes.
You know what they call a quarter pound of a cheating brain?
Royale with cheese.
It's time to use that useless knowledge and play Can't Beat Raven. Powered by Scap Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Star 99.9.
Lavinia, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, could you please leave the room?
Sure, good luck.
Thank you.
Lavinia, here's how it works. Raven is outside. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. I'll invite him back in. Ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you can beat him, $100 gift card to Little Pub, okay?
Okay.
Number 1, Price is Right Live is coming to Connecticut. Who was the famous host that retired in 2007?
Bob Barker.
Number 2, Oreo is making a special edition cookie with characters from this HBO show that is getting set for its final season. What show is it?
Game of Thrones.
Number 3, Culture's Mom leads the Billboard Music Award nominees with 21 nominations. Who is she?
Cardi B.
Number 4, Beyonce has signed a deal to relaunch Ivy Park and create a collection of sneakers with this brand.
Nike.
Number 5, Prince Harry says this popular video game should be banned in England. What is it?
Fortnite.
Let's bring Raven back in. Raven!
Go.
Lavinia got 4 out of 5.
4 to 5 is pretty good.
Yep.
Let's see how I do.
Number 1, Price is Right Live is coming to Connecticut. Who was the famous host that retired in 2007?
Bob Barker. Remember to spay and neuter your pets, please.
Yep, that is correct. Lavinia is still beating you 4 to 1. Number 2, Oreo is making a special edition cookie with characters from this HBO show that is getting set to launch its final season.
Oh, Game of Thrones.
That's right. Lavinia is still leading you 4 to 2. Number 3, Culture's Mom leads the Billboard Music Award nominees with 21 nominations. Who is she?
Culture's Mom is Cardi B.
That's right. Lavinia is still winning 4 to 3. Number 4, Beyonce has signed a deal to relaunch Ivy Park and create a collection of sneakers with this brand.
I'm just going to take a guess and say Adidas.
Adidas is the right guess. Yeah.
You know why I got that? Because I'm so smart. Because her husband's sports agency does a lot of deals with Adidas.
Well, okay.
See how smart I am?
Pretty soon we're all going to be wearing Beyonce sneakers, and I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of excited about it.
I wear old man dad sneakers now.
That's true, you do. Yeah. Number 5, Prince Harry says this popular video game should be banned in England.
I'm going to guess Fortnite just because it's what everybody's playing.
Yeah, that's it. I'm sorry, Lavinia. Raven beat you 5 to 4, but man, you were close this morning.
Oh, thank you. It's Lavinia from Shelton, and I still can't beat Raven.
Well, thank you so much for trying. We appreciate it.
Better luck next time.
Make sure you're listening to The Cheat Sheet this afternoon, 5:30 with Kevin Begley. I'll give you the first 2 answers to Monday's 5 pop culture questions. Connecticut man went viral for being in Disney World and singing an impromptu version of this. Incredible. Joining us this morning on Star 99.9, Anna and Raven, it's the viral dad, Justin Gigliello.
Thank you.
So this video has been shared over 5 million times. Your daughter looking at you and her face in this video is the sweetest thing I've ever seen. How did this even come? You guys are on vacation in Disney World, and then what happens?
We were actually at the Grand Floridian for lunch. My daughter, I was telling her how, as a kid, every year I went to Disney, we would stay next door at the Polynesian. There was music next door, so we would go over, sit on the couches, listen to the pianist play. So she said, oh, I want to do that. After lunch, we finished up. We went over there. We danced to a few songs. When one of the songs ended, she went right up to the pianist and said, my daddy loves to play and sing. He asked, what piece? She said, Ave Maria. And then he just started playing, and it happened.
Boom.
I mean, Ave Maria is a serious song. Do you have a background in singing?
I went to school at the Boston Conservatory and graduated with my bachelor's in voice performance.
So that's a real great school of music. You know, I was just imagining him as Susan Boyle, but somewhat more attractive, shows up. Simon Cowell, a single tear runs down his face. Nobody expected this. But Justin, you brought the big stick to Disney World.
Yeah.
Now, right. Your daughter must think you're the coolest dad in the whole entire world right now. But what does your wife think about all this?
She's just as surprised as I am. I mean, we can't believe how far it's gone and how many people it's actually reached. I mean, it's around the world, and it's just amazing.
It's so funny because if you watch the video, which we have up on our Facebook page, just search Anna and Raven, you're just sitting there and you're like football jersey, like a normal dad at
right.
Disney World.
And then all of a sudden you do this beautiful, graceful performance there.
Justin Gigliello joining us this morning. He's a Connecticut dad that's gone viral for singing Ave Maria impromptu in Disney World.
Justin, all right, so we know you can do the classics here. What is your go-to karaoke track? That's what I want to know. Like when you're ready to light up the room.
I don't do much karaoke. It's mostly opera, Josh Groban, Andrea Bocelli. That's style.
I mean, that's big stuff.
You go to karaoke, you bring out Andrea Bocelli.
I need a funk track. If you were a wedding singer, I need a funk track, bro.
Well, I do. I do weddings and funerals. I do both. I teach.
He's got range.
I do whatever I can.
I was really hoping to pull up some Earth, Wind, and Fire and just make you do it on the spot here.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. Yeah. Well, probably my wheelhouse, I guess.
Well, it's always cool when we see a Connecticut guy go viral for a beautiful reason. And if anything, your daughter's reaction is the best video memory that you could ever have of Disney, I would think.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
What's your number one request, your number one thing that you're booking out? Is it the funeral? Is it the wedding? What is it? One that's paying the bills.
I mean, who looks forward to funerals?
Right. Well, when there's the stage is right.
There's more weddings, usually.
Okay.
Especially with this time coming up. This is wedding time.
Yeah, but Ave Maria might swing that. It might swing it. They're like, nope, I'm dying.
Yep.
This guy's coming.
So we hired an opera singer to sing Ave Maria at my wedding many, many years ago, and he butchered it to the point where it was comical, and
people were
laughing in the church. So I give you a lot of credit. It was unbelievable, but I give you a lot of credit for doing that, especially impromptu. It's amazing.
We'll put you on standby for the renewal.
Yeah.
All right, Justin. Yep. Well, we wish you the best of luck in the future and wherever this takes you next.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me on.
Go head-to-head with Josh Groban right now on the app.
I will.
Sounds like you chickened out.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's Report Card on Star 99.9.
Checking in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he behaved as a husband this past week.
Hi.
So earlier this week, Alicia, we were talking about the 6 top rules to marital success. And I picked 3 of them. I want to go through them and I want to see, do you think Raven does these 3 things? Okay.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Number 1 is over-communicate. Like, do you make sure you guys are always on the same page all the time by overly communicating?
If you mean me communicating and him not listening, sure.
Yep, that probably means no, really.
Feels very one-sided. I mean, everybody in a relationship feels like they're unheard at times, right?
We had this conversation yesterday. 4 things you said on the phone. I said, do you listen to me when I talk? And you were like, okay, well, I'll let you go. Good luck at your interview. I said, that's next Wednesday, not today.
So I'm going to guess no on that one. Number 2, do you guys try new things together?
Yeah, I think we do.
That's good. What's the last new thing you guys did together?
I'm not sure how that was, what that question was there. You mean like activities?
Yeah, activities.
Yeah, I think we do. We like to do different stuff when I can get him to do stuff. Yeah.
All right. So that's good, Raven.
I'm still mad about not communicating.
I think that's a problem.
So I'm not communicating over here right now.
Okay. And how about this last one? You don't keep score. So what that means is that, like, you're not constantly being like, well, I washed the dishes and, you know, you haven't washed the dishes in a week. Or, like, you know, I did this and you never do that.
Somebody keeps score.
He keeps score.
Me. I might do it sometimes with, like, okay, like.
Thank you. That's over-communicating right there. See that? By you saying that I might do that sometimes also, that is over-communicating. So we just did 2 out of 3 right there.
He keeps score on argument.
Oh, yeah. You got to let it go once you make up. Like, mm-hmm. Do you bring up old fights?
No.
No?
Oh, yeah.
In Alicia's defense, Raven, I have to say that a lot of times during these calls, when she says that she's upset about something, you immediately bring up something else. So I would just say that maybe it's a little self-awareness time.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
I mean, who could imagine me feeling defensive in this with the 2 women I spend the most time with together grading me and talking about my shortcomings?
You know what, Raven? If you're feeling sad, why don't you tell Alicia how she behaved as a wife this week?
Oh!
What?
Oh, yeah. Why don't I do that?
Go ahead.
She actually did really good this week. I mean, she...
I know. I killed it.
She didn't do any complaining. I took a nap in the middle. Like, I mean, I might have passed out, like, every mid-sentence. At, no, only once this week. Thank you very much. It nope. feels like... No, that's not... Who's keeping... You know what? Forget it. I'm not going to blame you now either.
Alicia, what's the grade that you want to give your husband this week? Because this is getting nowhere. I should never have brought up reasons that marriages are successful.
Right.
Yeah, thanks, Anna. We should grade you right now. Thanks.
Well, I mean, I was just trying to be nice. I don't know. Mm-hmm. What kind of grade do you want to give him?
He's going
to
get a B.
All right, see? It's all
that
good
was
in
a
the
pity
end.
B. She gave me a pity B.
A pity B is better than no
good.
B.
That's true.
$2,450,000. That's how much Lisa Lampanelli is selling her beachside Fairfield home for.
Oh, nice. The lifestyles of Lisa Lampanelli and the Connecticut Coastal Companies.
Star 99.9 is Zanna and Raven. So, if you've never heard, Lisa Lampanelli has been my comedic icon for most of my life. She's the reason why I got into comedy. And over the years, somehow we've become fake best friends, you know? But we're kind of real best friends now.
I feel like... You know, you going back to doing the stand-up set.
Now
she felt
friends.
Like she had to be nice to you during right. that process there. And, you know,
well,
congratulations
just saying,
on that, because that was really your goal.
Is to perform stand-up in front of Lisa Lampanelli?
No, just to have Lisa Lampanelli's cell phone number and yeah. be able to text her and talk with her and that type of thing. So congratulations on your success,
Anna
Zapp.
Thank you. Now that me and Lisa are BFFs, I was very surprised yesterday.
Seems like
when,
a stretch.
Yep. No, best friends forever.
All right.
Sleepovers. So she did not tell me she was listing her Fairfield Beach home.
Wow, that goes counter to the fact that you guys are best friends. You feel
right?
like she would have discussed this life decision with you before she went ahead and listed her property.
So yesterday, I get like 3 emails and 2 text messages from
right.
other people sending me links to articles about her house being on the market.
Asking what's going on, I would imagine,
where's
right?
Where's Lisa going?
Right. And, what are her intentions? Page 6 from the post is like after Anna Zapp for a comment, because you're well known to be BFFs, right?
So
Amy Schumer's like, I had no idea.
This house was actually featured on like Celebrity Homes on TV, like
Cribs.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah. Connecticut Magazine did a spread about it.
That's a little different than Cribs.
Right. No, it was different than Cribs, but it was Celebrity Houses. I think I don't know what channel it was on, but anyway. So now I pick up my phone. I'm like, well, let me text her and find out.
Right.
Then I'm like, no. You can't text Lisa to
right.
ask her why is she selling her house and not tell you.
Right.
As if she has to report to me.
Right. It's the kind of thing that you have to, when you run into her, you have to bring that up.
Right.
Nonchalantly. Try and make it cool.
So then I decide, okay, no, a text is too much. I'm going
right.
to email her.
Okay.
Because emailing is
so
like
much
once,
more professional.
Because, right, because it's like, hey, like when you get a chance, answer me on
right.
why we're best friends and you didn't tell me that you're selling your house.
Right.
Where are you going? Are you trying to escape me? I see you have an open house on Sunday. I'm going to come lie
run
in your bed.
On sentence.
Right. Yeah.
What do you feel like Lisa Lampanelli's got for handouts at her house when you come over right,
so much
for an open house?
Tofu and healthy stuff now that she's skinny.
I like mini sandwiches. Mm. Mini sandwiches. All
yeah.
right. I mean,
yeah.
if I'm going to spend $2.5 million, there better be a ham and cheese.
But you know how I'm a realtor, right? So
right.
I still hold my realtor's license because
right.
for many years I was a realtor before I got this gig. So
you're stalking the listing?
Yes.
Yes, from the back channels.
And
right.
her tax records. So listen.
Get out of her tax record. That's odd. If I was in the car and I heard you do that, I would be thinking about texting you, and then I'd be like, nope, I'm not texting her.
I'm done.
No, but here's the interesting part about it is that I'm looking at the pictures on the MLS.
Yes.
And she's in them.
Nice.
Who lists their house?
List.
And puts the pictures of themselves
you want a hook,
in the
man.
Listing.
You want a hook. I'm with you, Lisa.
All
I'm
right.
with you on that one.
All I'm saying, Lisa, is I would buy your house and all the furniture in it.
Right.
I don't have $2.5 million.
And then try and assume her life. Right?
It's really pretty. I guess I like the way you decorated it. I wish you would invite me over for dinner. Just once before you move. That's all.